All right, for those who don't know me, and for those who are online this morning joining us on YouTube, my name is Mike, and a little bit about myself. I used to be a pastor, and about 10 years ago, I switched over from pastoral ministry into mental health and counseling, and that's what I do now. First of all, I want to acknowledge before I go into today's message that we are on the unceded lands of the Hanquahiem and the Squamish peoples of North Burnaby, and I'm grateful to be on their land and to be able to worship God in this place this morning. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and I don't know where everyone's been today or what they've gone through this week. I don't know what kind of hardship they've had or what kind of joys they've experienced. But what I do know is that they're here this morning, that they've gathered online sometime today or maybe in the future. And I pray that wherever everyone may be, that you would meet them there. That you would let them know how much you love them, how important they are. And I pray this morning that there would be a message of healing and compassion that would speak to each and one of us. That somewhere in these words, there would be hope. That somewhere within these words, there might be strength. That there might be encouragement. That there would be healing. I pray and I ask these things because I can't do this, but you can. Such amazing grace that we would be able to experience the love of the Father, the sacrifice and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, join us, fill this place. Fill this message online. I ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, as I was preparing for today's message, Pastor Kirk and I were talking about what I need to do to be able to get the sermon online and up on the PowerPoint. And Pastor Kirk told me, we don't use PowerPoint anymore. We use a fancy system now. So he said, I want your sermon to be consistent with everybody else's sermon. So you have to send me your PowerPoint and I'll convert it so every slide looks the same as the series. So I was just joking around with him and I said, well, if we're going to go for consistency, Pastor David started the sermon series off and he's bald. And Pastor Kirk was second in the series and he's bald. And Pastor Kirk then said, well, won't you wear a bald cap or shave your head? And I was like, well, I didn't bring the bald cap, and I didn't have the guts to shave my head. So thanks to my daughter, that's what I would look like if I was bored. And then my kid said, Dad, that's so boring. So Evelyn thought this would be a better picture of me. Okay. So anyways, kidding aside, let's talk this morning. So our series is A Myriad of Beauty. Pastor David talked about Jesus as our confidence. Pastor Kirk talked about Jesus as our example. And I was just looking at today's preaching schedule, or the schedule that Kirk had put out. Today was going to be Jesus the healer, and Jesus heals because of his compassion. And so I began to think about that word compassion. And it just so happens that as I've been thinking about this, the organization that I work for in mental health, this theme for this week actually is about kindness and compassion. And their slogan is be kind because compassion connects us all. And so that's where we're going to go this morning. We're going to talk about compassion. And when we talk about compassion, the first thing that we need to do is ask the question, well, what is compassion? And does compassion have the power to heal? There are studies and there's research that suggests that compassion and empathy are correlated to healing and positive health outcomes. In fact, some research would suggest that through kindness and empathy, healing occurs faster. There is other research that has shown that there are measurable effects of reduced stress and depression when people are given compassion and they're shown kindness. There is research out there, too, that also links compassion to better and improved mental and physical health. So what is compassion? How is it defined? I went on to Google, and I Googled the definition, and the Cambridge Dictionary came up with this one. Compassion is a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering or bad luck. In other dictionaries, it's the hardship or struggles of others and a wish to help. In Scripture, the Bible describes compassion in 2 Corinthians this way, as Brandon read for us this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. In other words, Scripture tells us that compassion and comfort comes from what you and I experience as God is working in our lives, as God is showing us His love, giving us His expressions of His presence in our daily lives. And that experience that we have as we're comforted by God, we then give that comfort to other people. And that's a definition of compassion within Scripture. Now, connected to that, along with this, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, we read, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, compassion is linked to sympathy, to love, to being like-minded with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, compassion and forgiveness go hand in hand with each other. And when I think about compassion, I believe that Jesus embodied these very elements. It seems to me that at the heart and the nature of compassion, it truly comes through during times of suffering. It's the expression of someone that has that is just so deeply moved to care for someone else who's experiencing some type of pain or experiencing some type of hardship, with the heart to be a comforting presence. As we are comforted, we comfort others. And to me, as I read the Bible, that's Jesus. And often with compassion, there's this quality of empathy that comes through by providing a non-judgmental support that is characterized by loving and kindness and caring and humility and gentleness and an open heart, where compassion and empathy transcends things as like biases and judgments and race and status and religion and other divisive ideas and viewpoints and concepts, where we begin to see each other, you and I, in loving compassion that provides healing, support, and hope. So how do we show compassion? Imagine with me that you're walking down the street and you come across a child who's fallen off their bicycle, skin knee, they're crying, they're holding their leg. Or imagine if you're walking down the street and you see a dog or a cat and it's limping and struggling because it's maybe been hit by a car. Would you go up to that little child or to that pet? Would you get down to them? Would you speak gently to them with soft words? Would you give them a kind and gentle touch? Would you turn to their pain? would you in some way give a little bit of aid or help, a gesture of some type of kindness? If you said yes to that or to any of that or all of that, that's compassion. And along with compassion, we want to give empathy. And imagine, if you will, that you had a friend who was struggling with an area of their lives. Would you come up to them? Would you say something like, dude, wow, that sucks. Sucks to be you, man. You know, or would you go like, hey, well, yeah, you know, ooh, yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, you know, the sun's going to shine tomorrow, right? It's, hey, look at the silver lining, right? At least you're not like, you know, those people over there in that part of the world. Would you do that? Or would you instead try to understand how hard their struggle is? Would you try to understand what they might be feeling? Would you get a sense of their pain, a sense of their hardship, the challenge that they're experiencing? Would you want to let them know that you would want to connect with them, to be with them? You know, to say instead something like, wow, I can see how heartbreaking this is for you. The sadness. Wow. I can hear how tough this has been for you. It's been hard and challenging. And, hey, I'd like to be with you. You don't have to go through this alone. Can we do this together? If that resonates with you, that's empathy. And Jesus was incredibly empathetic. As Jesus would identify with people's struggles, he often knew what they were going through. He would show this incredible love and compassion to folks and their situations and their pain. He wouldn't say to them, well, you brought that on yourself. You deserve it. He wouldn't say, well, you know, you're not like me, so, you know, just go away. You're harsh in my vibe here. Right? He came. Whoever it was that needed the help, the compassion, the healing. And Jesus met them where they were at. Let me give you a few examples in scriptures. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, we read this. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had what? Compassion. He had compassion on them because they were confused. They were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, we read this. He says to the disciples, in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And listen to what he says in verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and he touched him and said, I am willing. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 15. Soon after, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he was approaching the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, capture this. His heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin. He touched it. Young man, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. This is always a special passage for me in my heart. There was a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Listen to the ordeal that she went through. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And the scripture tells us immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him and he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? Who just did that? And the disciples answer him back, you see the people crowding against you and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus, looking around to see who had done it, and then the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came, fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the truth. Oh, so beautiful. And he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And these are just a few of the many times that Jesus was recorded as this beautiful, compassionate healer. And in these passages, we see this compassion of Jesus shining through in so many different ways. And as I went through the scriptures and I counted through the gospels, I found at least 30, if not more, accounts of Jesus in some way or another showing compassion, giving healing in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And not only did Jesus heal physically, but he also healed spiritually. As we see in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8, Jesus steps into a boat, crosses over, and came to his hometown. And some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, or to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. And they praised God who had given such authority to man. And in there we see this double healing, and not only physical healing, but spiritual healing. And as we see in these narratives, that Jesus had this amazing compassion on communities, on individuals, of women and men alike. Gender did not matter to him. Ethnic background did not matter to him. For those who were lost and hopeless, confused, those who were ill, impoverished due to their illnesses, their medical and health conditions, for those who were mourning and grieving, for those who experienced great and traumatic losses, for the brokenhearted, for the sinners, for the others that society would want to avoid or look down on. And as we read these verses, we see that miracles happened for those that were instantly healed and raised from the dead, all because of the compassion of Jesus. Now, many of us may be asking this morning, well, what about the compassion of Jesus today? Why do we see so little healing in our present? We might be asking, does God heal today? What of his compassion now? And while we may not hear of many stories in our churches, I believe that God still heals. Excuse me. and that God heals in accordance to his will. And one reason that we do not hear as much about healing is that, as we do in the narratives of Jesus, well, I guess one of the obvious reasons is that a lot of these recordings of healing was happening when Jesus was here on earth in the flesh. And so it would make sense that because Jesus is no longer walking among us physically, that we're not going to quite as hear as many stories of healing as we would when Jesus was present and around. But while Jesus may no longer be with us physically on earth, Jesus did instruct the disciples and his followers to heal in his name. And we, as Jesus' followers today, were called to pray and to ask for healing and to heal in the name of Jesus. But not everyone is healed instantly. One theologian puts it this way: as Christ's followers, there are two options to be healed. One is we can be healed by nature and science, or we could be healed by grace and faith. The way I always like to think about it is through miracle or by medicine. And while we should rely on both, we need to be sensitive to how God might be leading your need for healing. And God may be saying that there might be a miracle for you, and there are going to be times when God says, you know what, it's the best thing to go through medicine. And so it's up to us to use our best judgment and discernment as to how we go about healing. But healing is still part of God's plan, and still part of God's plan for the church. And there are believers out there who do have God's special gift of healing. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." And so he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can, notice what the words is, help each other. To one, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. And while there are some Jesus followers who are especially gifted to bring about healing, the ministry of healing is a call to each and one of us. A call to be compassionate, to be mindful of others, to give comfort to all we come across, to be praying for others and supporting those who are suffering. James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15 gives us these instructions. "Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord." And we're going to get a chance to do that this morning after this message. We're going to give you a chance for prayer and to come to the front. So the ministry and the calling of healing is a ministry not just for elders, but I believe for everyone in the church. And everyone in the church can be praying for each other. Everyone in the church can be giving comfort to one another. For any of those who are asking for healing, we can show compassion. We can show love. We can show kindness. We can show empathy. And we do this because Jesus was compassionate. And while healing may not occur in physiological ways, healing can happen spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, relationally. And even when healing isn't evident, we can still be comforted. We can be still shown empathy. We can pray continually, love enduringly. And with faith in the process of healing as a part of healing, we show compassion, as the research mentioned earlier. Church, imagine the church being fully alive in Jesus. as we pray and we ask for healing in the name of Christ, as we exercise belief and faith and the power of the Holy Spirit and the compassion and promises of God. And even if there is no apparent healing in the present, we can still offer and we can still trust in the hope of Christ's healing, goodness, and presence. And ultimately, whether you and I are healed or not in the present, here's the great news, that the greatest healing is the healing of the soul, the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, the hope that is yet to come, the promise of God's redeeming power and plan, that the hope here is in God's ultimate goal, that when Jesus returns once and for all, we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.' And the most beautiful part of this, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Amen. Amen. So how do we offer compassion and prayer? Begin with your own experience. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as God comforts you and gives you hope, share that comfort to others. Where have you experienced the compassion of God's grace? Either from God or from others in the name of Jesus. Let me share with you one of my own experiences of compassion. It was the winter of 2006. And it was a time when I was experiencing incredible pain. I had this neck pain where I could not turn my head. My neck was frozen. It was like a stabbing in the left side here of my neck. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't drive. Just sitting was excruciating. I went to see doctors. I was given MRIs. And I was diagnosed with cervical spondylosis, which is when your vertebrae start to deteriorate. And it happened in my C4 and my C5. And it was excruciating. The pain was so bad, I fell into a depression. I went into this place of dark despair. It was a hopeless time for me because I couldn't see the end to it. It was incredibly hard on my wife, Anita, because we had a toddler, our first child, with us. And I couldn't do much to help her. And the healing for me came as an experience of amazing compassion, not only from Anita, but from friends of mine. Friends who gave me rides to my MRIs, who prayed with us, who supported Anita during these times, providing for us meals, checking in with us, letting me cry without judgment. Now, I'm not sure if it was the treatments or it was the changes that I had to make in my life or if it was a divine healing. Maybe it was a combination of all this, of medicine and miracle. But what I can testify is this incredible compassion that I received, the hope and the comfort that I wasn't alone. That God in his wisdom was either going to heal me or see me through this time. And it was his compassion experienced through the expression of his people. That's where Jesus is today. In you and I, reaching out to one another as we have been comforted by God, we share that comfort with others. I want to pause here for a moment because I think we need to acknowledge this. There are times in the church and in history and presently where we are not like Jesus, where compassion and empathy and healing have not been the hallmark of churches and some Christians. And we need to name this and we need to acknowledge this if we're going to be places of healing and places of compassion. And there has been incredible hurt and there has been incredible damage through churches and what Christians have done and inflicted on others. From residential schools, holy wars, the sin and abuse of church leaders and Christians who've taken advantage of other people, from prejudice, misogyny, discrimination, condemnation, judgmentalism, biases, past and current rhetoric, to how we have treated issues and people in regards to women's rights, human rights, the 2SLGBTQI+ community, races, inclusion, to children's rights, to the stigmatism of mental health, to my own sins of indifference, biases, selfishness, words and actions that have lacked compassion and empathy. We need to name that this morning. And we need to correct that. Church, there's no magic formula, but there are a few things that we can do. And I want you to imagine this with me this morning, that if you and I chose compassion, that when others ask for healing or we're seeing people who need healing, ask them, where do you need it? Don't assume you know what they need to be healed and how they should be healed. Ask them, what is it that they need? Ask them about their hurt. Ask them about where they're suffering, what their illness is, what their conditions are. Not out of some type of morbid curiosity, but so that we can understand their experience. To gently, and with the intention of understanding, so that we can connect to their suffering. Where are those areas of healing? Is it psychological? Is it physiological? Is it spiritual? Is it emotional? Is it relational? And to pray and to ask for that and to pray specifically for it in the name of Jesus. Asking the Holy Spirit to come into that moment. And prayer may include the use of the anointing of oil, as we read in James chapter 5, verse 14. And anointing is really, the anointing of oil is symbolic for the presence of God, his presence among his people. And so we anoint in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on people, as in Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Again, just as a symbol of presence and connection and asking for God's blessing and power upon them. Praying in faith and praying continually. Offering compassion and hope to give comfort, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us. Encourage and encourage us to carry each other's burdens. And by faith, trusting in God's decision, God's will, God's timing. Let me finish with this. Brené Brown, a famous author, you may have read some of her books. She's a professor of social work at the University of Houston. She does extensive research on empathy and love and courage and vulnerability. some amazing books out there. But she wrote this, and it captured my thoughts. Compassion is not a virtue. It is a commitment. It's not something we have or we don't have. It's something we choose to practice. And as Jesus showed and lived out his life and his ministry of compassion, he is the greatest example of practicing compassion and healing. And so, church, let's choose to be like Jesus, as the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. To show compassionate healing, not just for us in the church, but for everyone in this world. To practice loving, to practice kindness, to practice compassion, to practice presence, to practice everything that Jesus has called us to do. And as Jesus is our beautiful and compassionate healer, practice Jesus. Choose to be like him. Because with all that is happening in our world today, we need compassion. Would you pray with me? Worship team, you can come up and join me as well. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 reads this: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Father God, we come before you this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to follow your beautiful example of compassion. Holy Spirit, we pray, come to this place this morning. Holy Spirit, fall on each and one of us. For those who are online this morning or who might be listening somewhere during the week, come upon them as well. As I prayed earlier, I don't know where everyone's coming from today. I don't know what kind of news they've been working with, what kind of conditions they've been experiencing. But I think it's safe to say that there are people here this morning who could use your healing touch for their health, whether that's a terminal, chronic, or maybe just a seasonal illness. And I pray this morning that you would touch them and give them healing. I pray for those who might come this morning emotionally broken from relationships that might be toxic, from relationships that have fallen apart and deteriorated over years, or maybe even within the last few days, where relationships might need to be healed. I pray for that. Father, I pray for those this morning with mental health conditions and who have been struggling, especially during this time where there's just so much going on, depression, anxiety, and other forms of mental illness that are out there. I pray, Father, that you would lift that from them, that you would bring healing. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning too for those who might be dealing with addictions. And addictions look in so many different ways. And I pray that, Father, if there's people who are trying to break those chains, that those chains would be broken this morning. And Heavenly Father, you could heal today, and you could bring forth a miracle. And we would ask that from you, that you would bring miracles to us. We all need miracles. But we also know, Lord, that sometimes it's not through miracle, but it's through medication and through medicine and through this the healthcare system. And if that's what you choose that we go through, and if it's not instant and miraculous healing, then I pray that you would grant instead strength and hope for what is yet to come. And Father God, for whatever it is that we're bringing this morning, or maybe it's someone that we know that's in our circle of life, I pray if it's not immediate healing, that at least that you would make us agents of healing. And that through by giving comfort and by giving compassion, and that by exercising and practicing empathy, that we would be here for one another to carry burdens, to cheer each other on, to cry with one another, to understand each other, to accept one another, to love as you love. For that's the sign of your church. It's the sign of your presence. And so I ask these things, that you would be lifted up and that you would be glorified. In the great and beautiful and compassionate name of Jesus, we pray these things this morning. Amen.
Ends for you to come up and